Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. You can also either take out a piece of paper or look at the front of your bulletin for a moment. I'd like you just to jot down your biggest concern. Something's going to keep you up at night. If you wake up in the middle of the night and something comes to mind, what will that be? It's your biggest concern. You're not going to turn this in, so nobody else is going to see it. So you can be honest. What's your biggest concern? And if nothing pops to mind, I'll give you some suggestions. The national debt of the United States has passed $21 trillion. The pension, state pension in Pennsylvania, is in trouble. Not quite as much as in trouble as Illinois, but it's in trouble. We're not paying enough money for our pensions. Technology continues to make jobs obsolete. Maybe you are training for a job that in the near future won't even exist. Water bills are rising, both locally and nationally. We have to restore our water infrastructure. People are wondering, some of them, how will I continue to get water? It takes too much of my paycheck, so will I be able to afford water? There's an election coming up that keeps some people awake. We have concerns maybe for your family, what's happening in your family, or your health. How's your health? For some of you, that might come to mind. You have something that concerns you? There are things that come to mind in the night. In fact, we might even have reasons to worry or be anxious. The psalmist acknowledges that. He has anxious thoughts. So now what I'd like you to do is jot down all the things that you have found to be helped by worry. And I'll give you a little bit of, I'll give you time. What has been helped by worry? Anybody still writing? Can you tell them, a teacher? Anybody need more time? We might have many reasons that we think are valid reasons to worry. And what we'll discover in Matthew chapter 6 is Jesus says, don't worry. Don't be anxious. Seek first the kingdom of God, and I'll see to all of those other things. I got those things. So when faced with the temptation to worry, and that's really what it is, it's a temptation to worry, we are to respond by faith. The response to worry really is faith. So look at Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19. Jesus says this, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's Jesus' comment on worry and anxiety. And again, there are many things that tempt us to worry. There are health issues. People don't like going to the doctor often because of what might be found, and they worry about their health. There's currently a worry about school safety and the threat of violence. If your child goes off to school, will that child come back? Will he or she be safe? Again, there are matters of job security and the economy and the stock market. You worry about retirement. Will I have enough? Will I be impoverished in my old age? Some people wonder, will I get married? If I do, will I have a happy marriage? Well, as stewards, some of these things actually do have a place in our thinking and planning. We are called to plan and to consider the future. But ultimately, these things are only temporal. 200 years from now, they won't be of much concern to you. So, Jesus commends us. Make sure the greatest concerns are heavenly, are the things of eternity, are the things that last. Even though we have lots of things over which we might worry, how will it help? How will it help? How does it help for you to lie awake at night and worry? I read an email message this week from a behavioral economist, and he used to write articles and he would send them into the newspaper, and he always worried that they wouldn't be accepted. And so he would write it up and he would email it off, and he would pace around and he'd look at his wife. He talked about this in the email, and he says, you don't seem to be worried. And she said, well, I could be if you think that would help. He didn't like her just kind of dispassionate approach. He's like, but she got to the point. I could be worried with you, but I don't know how that would help. All of our earthly stuff is at risk. Okay? Everything we have now, everything that is temporal, that is here and now, is at risk. In fact, it has a guaranteed value of zero. If we just acknowledge that, we can do away with a lot of worry. Eventually, what you have will have a value of zero. Because you brought nothing into the world, and you will take out of it the same you brought in? Nothing. So when you think like that, how much of our worry and anxiety is about temporal matters? Probably almost all of it. But it's not going to last. Clothing wears out. If it doesn't wear out, it goes out of fashion. Roofs leak. Silver tarnishes. Possessions can be stolen. Owners die. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 for a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Back in the Old Testament, on page 704, Solomon addresses this. He gets mentioned by Jesus. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 18. Solomon says this: I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. So there's Solomon's observation. The same, similar observation to Jesus about anxiety. Even at night, his heart does not rest. So what does Jesus say? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Literally, don't treasure treasures on earth. Make sure your most prized treasure, and therefore your heart, is in heaven. Don't treasure treasure on earth, treasure treasure in heaven. That's what he's telling us. So, how do you invest in a heavenly account? How can you actually treasure treasure in heaven? Well, this whole Sermon on the Mount is giving an answer to that question. And ultimately, it's by having a heart given to righteousness. A righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, he says back in chapter 5. So it is a godly character. That's how it begins with the Beatitudes in chapter 5. A godly character. It's in holy living. It's found in religious devotion. So there is a spiritual posture by which we treasure treasure in heaven. There's a way of thinking, but there's also a practical way. Rather than hoard, we are to give generously. So in Matthew 19, in verse 21, Jesus says, give away and you'll actually have treasure in heaven. Matthew 19, 21. If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. So there's a follow me, but there's also give your stuff away. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6. As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, that is to be proud, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so they may take hold of that which is truly life. So one way to store up treasure, to treasure treasures in heaven, is to give away treasures here and now. To be generous. And Jesus has talked about that. When you give it secretly. We're not to be anxious, but we're to pray. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And Jesus has talked about how to pray. When you pray, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. We can fast. And I've preached a sermon on fasting. It reminds us that life is not in our abundance of food. It keeps us from treasuring treasures on earth. Jesus says here, starting in verse 22, to keep a clear eye, or really singular vision, with an eye on that which is of most value. Like Colossians chapter 3, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. How's your orientation? What do you think about? It says, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ, who is your life. It is not what you'll eat, what you will wear, the size of your 401k, the size of your house. This is not your life. But your life, by faith, is hidden with Christ in the heavenly realm. And Jesus then says you have to choose. Verse 24, you can't serve two masters. You cannot stock two treasuries. You can't serve two masters. You love one and hate the other. You cleave to one, you despise the other. So where's your heart today? Where's your treasure? To whom or what are you devoted? Jesus tells us, treasures in heaven. Because those treasures in heaven are eternally secure. That's one antidote to overcoming worry. It's to remember that your treasure is in heaven. And it's not here. And in heaven, it is eternally secure. There's another antidote to worry. And that's to actually keep your trust in the Creator. See, ultimately, worry springs from a heart of fear. It comes from fear. So this writer who was sending in his articles was afraid that they would be rejected. Who's fear? He sent it off, and then he would be afraid, and he would worry. We're afraid of the future. What if? And the moment you feel you have that blank, you can put anything in there. What if this happens? What if that happens? And in our minds, we tend to think worst-case scenario. What if bad stuff happens? What if really bad stuff happens? What if horrible, awful, terrible stuff happens? So fear questions God's very nature. We sometimes wonder, can he provide? We question God's power. Can he provide? Can he preserve me? Can he preserve my children? Can he provide for me in my old age? So we might question his power. Or we might actually question his goodness. Will he provide? Maybe you know that he can. But you kind of wonder, will he? Is God generous? I don't know how you think of God the Father. Is he stingy? You have to pry good things out of his hand? Or is he generous? Is he angry? Does he keep this long record? Well, I did this, and so he's going to do that. Or he did that, so I must have done something wrong. By the way, I think Sound of Music shows up on television this week around Easter, right? Did they show it? It's terrible theology. Somewhere in my youth or childhood, I must have done something good to get this result. That's works righteousness. No. We do stuff terribly, and God meets us with grace, not with what we deserve. So we don't have to worry about that. We can trust his power. Yes, he can provide. We can trust his goodness. Yes, he will provide. The disciples kind of put that question to Jesus. They were in a storm on the sea. Jesus is sleeping in the boat. They wake him up, and what's the question? If you know. What did they ask him? Do you not care that we're going to drown? Do you not care? Can you imagine asking Jesus that? Do you not care? But that's the question they put to him. And you know what he did. He just spoke to the wind and the waves, be still, and they were. And then what does he ask the disciples? You guys know the story, come on. This is interactive. Where's your faith? Oh, you of little faith. He gently rebukes them, but he rebukes them. In the face of their anxiety, their fear, their worry, where's your faith? That's in essence what this is asking. Are you anxious? Where's your faith? Where is your faith? God certainly is able to meet every need. Isaiah 50 verse 2. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, by my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst. Isaiah is speaking on behalf of God. He's rebuking their unbelief. I have the power. And in Hebrews 13, we're told this, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. You believe that? That Jesus will never leave you or forsake you? So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? That's a statement of faith. I will not fear. Because I know God is able and God is willing, and he will provide all that we need. And Jesus argues here from what we see in the creation. See how he preserves the birds and clothes the flowers, which comparatively are of much less value than you. So it is a question of faith, or lack thereof. Where is your trust? Maybe you actually have a trust fund. Think about that for a moment. A trust fund. Is that where your trust is? I hope not, because in the last about 72 hours, if your trust fund is funded in the stock market, you might be a little white-knuckling right now. Or you might think, hey, wow, everything's gone on sale. I'm going to do a lot of buying. I don't know how you think about these things, but there are people that are really nervous. We think rich people are not nervous because they have lots of money. Oh, no, no, no. They are very nervous lest they lose all their money. They have fear. So who are you trusting? Where is your trust? I hope it's not in a fund. I hope it is in the Lord God, the creator and sustainer of the world, who has loved us so much that he's come into the world to share our experience. Unless you think that anxiety and worry is just a little deal. It's not a little deal. The danger of worry is great because it can distract us from service. If you look at Luke chapter 21, verse 34, Jesus says this, "Watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares or worries of this life." But you get weighed down by worry. And he says, then, and that day, the final day, the judgment day, come upon you suddenly like a trap. So we get weighed down by worries that distract us from what is most important. So it can distract us. It chokes out the word, making it unfruitful. In Matthew 13, Jesus is explaining a parable. And he says, "For what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." Anxiety and worry can distract. It can make us unfruitful, and left unchecked can lead to spiritual dullness and ultimately condemnation. So worry and anxiety is not just a little vice, it's a major spiritual challenge. It must be overcome by a full and complete trust in our loving Father, who has showed his love by giving his Son as an atoning sacrifice. If he is for you, what can you worry? Why worry? There can be no question as to our Father's love and care and concern. It abounds beyond all measure. So I love that call to worship that Drew used this morning. "Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You'll find rest for your restless soul. That's what anxiety and worry does. It makes us restless. And I'm not immune. I do wake up sometimes at 3 a.m. wide awake because of the concerns of this world. Concerns of people in the church. Concerns in my family. Concerns of my students at school. I have to deal with that. I can either toss and turn, or I can pray. And recall scripture like this. Why am I so anxious? Why am I so restless? have to preach the gospel to myself. And in that confidence again, I come to Jesus and I find rest for my soul. I find rest for my mind. And I find rest for my body. And thankfully, I usually go back to sleep. So it's that kind of a practical matter. You can actually make yourself physically sick by worry. Ulcers. Things like that can come from worry. So rather than being driven by worry and anxiety about the future, and by the way, if you weren't counting, Jesus mentions anxiety in verse 25, 27, 28, 31, 34. Over and over. Do not be anxious about your life. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your lifespan? Why are you anxious about clothing? Do not be anxious saying, what should we eat or what should we drink? Do not be anxious about tomorrow. He understands this is a real problem. He says, don't be anxious. Rather, pursue the priorities of the kingdom. So we keep our treasure in heaven. We keep our trust in our Creator and our Father. And we keep our time in proper priority and focus on the things of the kingdom. We are not to be preoccupied with questions about living. The Father has got that all under control. Think back for a moment when you were maybe 4 or 5 or 6. I'm hoping that most of you just trusted your parents. Now, possible that some of you had a really awful childhood, and there were reasons to worry. You wondered, where is my next meal coming from? But for most of us, I'm imagining that we didn't think much about that. When I had my own children, and I got thinking back about when I was 6, when I had a 6-year-old. I thought, I just figured Dad had it. You know, okay, we're going overseas. Okay. And I thought later about our age, how old I am when he was this, and I got thinking later, what was my dad thinking? But I, as a child, didn't worry about that. My parents, they got this. I had no idea what was going on behind the scenes. That comes with maturity. Children don't know enough maybe to worry. Food just shows up on the table. The dinner bell rings. Oh, there's food. Can you be that way now as a mature adult with your Father in heaven? He's got this. There's no reason to worry. This is not to say then that we may simply free ride on others or live by presumption. The Bible does tell us if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. If one will not work, neither should he eat. We're told don't steal, rather work. So you have enough for yourself and something to give. We're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, admonish the idle. That's the one who's not working, not idle as in idolatry. Admonish the idle, the guy or the woman who's not doing anything. Get to work. We are told to provide for our families. The one who doesn't provide for his family is worse than a Gentile, an unbeliever. We're told to consider the ant in Proverbs chapter 6, to save for the future, to work hard. And we're told then in Philippians 4 to be content. So this isn't a call then to presumption. I'm just going to lie on the couch and the Father in heaven will provide for me. No, is if you had a father on earth, I hope he came in and said, get off the couch and get to work. And I've heard this now from some parents. to their children. If you think for a moment that you're coming back home to sit on my couch and play video games, that is not going to happen. Yet to work. So sometimes the Heavenly Father will tell you that. Get to work. Like your earthly father might say, get to work. Birds are not idle. I wish I had filmed it this week. I was looking out of my kitchen window, and there was a bird. I don't know what he was doing, but he kept throwing trash into my driveway from the neighbor's yard. I mean, just leaves and grass and dirt. I don't know if he was hunting for a worm or something, but it was very funny. He just was there, he's flitting around, he was just kept throwing stuff out into the driveway. He was busy. In fact, I haven't really seen I don't think I've ever seen an idle bird. Even a bird that's sitting around is usually tweeting, doing something. They are busy, and Jesus says, consider the birds. Birds work hard. Looking for fur, food, building nests. I don't think birds worry about the size of their nest. Is it going to be a two-story nest? Is it going to have multiple rooms? They don't do that. They build a nest. And they're busy at it. Jesus had a friend named Martha. Martha was busy. Martha loved Jesus. But she had confused her priorities and so got distracted. In fact, Luke writes this. Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went to him, that is to Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care? Seems like a common question from Jesus' friends. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her, then, to help me. Any of you empathize with that? But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away. Martha loved Jesus, but had confused priorities, so got distracted from what was most important. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. All these other things will be added to you. We live by faith. We act in obedience. We pursue God's call on our lives. We trust Him for His blessing. It is not the followers of Jesus, but the Gentiles, those who are outside the covenant, who worry themselves to death. And by the way, I have never met anyone who has worried himself or herself to life. If you know that person, I would like to meet that person. But we don't talk like that. You will worry yourself to death. And that, Jesus says, is what the Gentiles do. The unbelievers. So no amount of fretting can solve matters beyond your control. And no amount of fretting, by the way, will solve matters within your control either. Anxiety and worry and fretting do not help. Rather, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. With faith and with prayer. And with expectancy. And we leave everything else to the King who loves us and who has promised to provide for us. He always has and He always will. So I have to ask, what are you seeking first? What is your first priority? Is it the kingdom of God? Or is it something else? So when doubts and worries and anxiety crowd your mind, and they will, maybe even tonight, maybe this week. Remember that each day's trouble can be met by faith, with hope and confidence in God, for his compassions never fail. So when worry and anxiety comes, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:7, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We're going to do that right now as I pray. That one item you jotted down at the beginning, we're going to give that to Jesus. And my hope is, my expectation is that when you leave here today, you just leave that worry right here. You're going to give it to the Father through Jesus, and he's going to handle it. Let's pray. Lord, you do know what troubles us. In fact, the scripture says, you know it even before we tell you. You know we need food. You know we need clothing. You know some of us need work. You know whatever we need, even before we tell you. You know what weighs us down. And right now, whatever that is, we give to you. It may be beyond our control. It may be something that we have direct influence and a lot of control in this circumstance. But either way, we give it to you by faith. We cast this anxiety on you because we know that you care for us. We do it by faith. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to give us that peace. We're told that when we give our anxiety to you through prayer with thanksgiving, the peace of Christ will keep our hearts and minds. So we trust you as an act of our will by faith. Forgive us for our worry. Forgive us for our fear. Forgive us for asking that question, do you not care? You do care. So much so that you have come into the world and died for us, that we might have life, that we might have treasure in heaven. Give us that peace, and give us that rest. In Jesus we pray. Amen.